Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Dallas Greenaway will be finishing up our series, After You, as we look at how living selflessly requires sharing your joy with others. We will look at Romans 15, verse 13, and how our God of hope fills us with joy and peace, and also how Paul is joyful in all circumstances in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right, so After You, this is our series. Does anybody want to tell me what has this series been about? The whole thing. JT. Putting others before yourself. I asked this question of first service. I'll ask of you guys, how many of you have held the door for an old lady in this series? Yep. Did anybody do it at Chick-fil-A? Please tell me you did it at Chick-fil-A. Really? Blake? Really? We have confirmation, Steve? It's questionable. Old ladies at Chick-fil-A? Yes. Okay, so every time, if you're like, why are you talking about old ladies at Chick-fil-A? This series is about serving others. It is about putting others first before yourself. And it's this whole idea of, you know, the old lady at Chick-fil-A going to get her Christian chicken. And you say, no, ma'am, after you, right? As you hold the door for her. And my hope has been with a silly picture like that, that you guys would remember this series, or at least remember about serving and how Christ first served us every time you hold the door for an old lady or for like a young lady, okay, or anybody that you hold the door for. So yes, this series has been about following in the footsteps of Jesus. We are now Christians. If you have put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and now our mission in life is to follow in Jesus' footsteps, and one of the things that he did everywhere he went was serve others. He embodied this after you lifestyle, right? So in this series, we've talked about living selflessly, putting others before yourself requires noticing the needs of others, right? It requires opening your hands, like giving of your time and your energy and your resources to serve other people. And then it also requires using your gifts, right? Last week we talked about whatever, and this is G-I-F-T-S, okay? There's been a lot of confusion. But gifts, what are the things that God has made you passionate about? What are the things that he's made you good at? Using all those things to serve others, to live this after you kind of life, right? And today we're going to finish off by first talking about this little balloon, all right? And really talking about your happiness and kind of how your happiness plays into this whole idea of serving, right? And happiness today means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. But if you ask most people today in the world, hey, like, what are you here for? Like, what do you hope to get out of life? What do you feel like your purpose is? A lot of people, especially people in your generation, all right, your Generation Z, did you guys know that? Generation Z. Gen Z, sure, we have to shorten it. Gen Z, I'm sorry. You are Gen Z, and most people in Gen Z will say, the reason for life, my purpose in life, my goal in life, is to be happy. And we've all got different ways that we would say, hey, this is what leads to my happiness. So I want to ask you, if you could like give a recipe for happiness, what would it be? Like if there were three ingredients to your happiness, maybe it does have something to do with food, right? But if there were three things that you could have, like or that you need for a happy life, what would they be? Anybody who wants to raise their hand. JT. God, family, friends. Hello, that sounds like a country song, right? Blake, what's your recipe? Ice cream, sports, and V-Bucks to buy the ice cream virtually in Fortnite, right? All right, Nick? Love, family. What was the last one? Comfort? Nice. I'm definitely with you on that. Yep. Family, friends, and everyone else except what? Oh, and everyone else's happiness. That's very noble of you. So we've all got different ways that we would like, if we could put it into this bowl and mix it up and make ourselves happy, we've all got different ideas of what happiness means, right? And most of what we mentioned, although I think in second service, it's a little different in first service. They're way more selfish than you guys, I think. But in here, at least a couple of people said God, right? Or my faith. And Here's why I'm holding this balloon. Does anybody actually have a permanent marker? Anybody have one of those? Do you really have a permanent marker right now? Oh, yes, Chad has one. Throw it up here. Can I? Oh, wow. Hello. All right. This is my happiness balloon, okay? So I feel like I need to draw a happy face on him. This is my best attempt at making myself into a balloon, okay? So here's little me, and here's me being a happy balloon, all right? And here's how a lot of us treat happiness, all right? Our happiness depends on, like, whatever you would put into that bowl, the ingredients to make you happy, it depends on how those things are going, right? So if you would say, hey, one of the things that makes me really happy is when, like, things are going well with my friends, right? Either maybe just being with your friends or just doing a certain thing with your friends or laughing a lot or when your relationship is good, things are really great. And your happiness balloon is pretty high up in the air, right? I can't reach that high. You're just probably way higher than I could reach, but I'm pretty short. But when things are not so good with your friends, like when you guys are having a fight, or when you move away, or maybe one of them moves away, or something happens that just shakes up your relationship, your happiness kind of goes down, right? Like we know, we've felt the mood swings when things with our friendships are not going well. Maybe for you, it is video games, right? You would have to throw video games into that bowl that make you happy. And when you're doing really well with video games, like, you feel good, right? Or when you actually get to play them. But let's say your parents take them away, or let's say you've got just a terrible losing streak, like you drop Tilted and you're the first to die every game, right? Like, I mean, when things are not going well in video games, you are not a super happy camper. Or maybe it's sports, and some of you are pretty excited because Duke is still in, even though they should have been knocked out by UCF, right? Like, you're really, really excited because your team is still in the tournament, but some of you came in and you're UNC fans, and your whole attitude has changed because your team got knocked out of the tournament, right? Whatever it is in life that makes you happy, that brings you happiness, I'm telling you, this happens for all of us, you ride the waves of is it going good or bad, right? And you ride the waves up and down, up and down. But what happens if everything in your life that makes you happy, you're flying away from me, Harry, Dallas Potter. What happens when everything for a long period of time is not going well? When all of your stuff, when all of your happiness is based on your circumstances. Wow. It is. Somebody said it, and it's kind of maybe sounded like a joke, right? But it is true. The rates of depression and anxiety are higher than they've ever been. More people, percentage-wise, are committing suicide between the age of 35 and 55 than ever before. And it's showing no signs of stopping, because when we hit rock bottom, and I know the table's like halfway up, right? We pretend it was on the ground. But when we hit rock bottom and all of our happiness, all of our joy, which is maybe a more biblical word, right, is wrapped up in our circumstances, your life does blow up. You don't know where to turn. You don't know how to handle hard times. You don't know how to handle the loss of your best friend. And sometimes it does in extreme cases, right? So let me ask for you, what happens for you if you were to hit rock bottom? Because a lot of times for us, right, we live in this little bubble where we have all that we need for a lot of us. We never worry about where food's coming from. Our parents are able to take care of things. But if you were to just take like half a step outside of your bubble and outside of your world, you're going to find somebody who is maybe experiencing what you would categorize as rock bottom. And for some of those people, their life is absolutely falling apart because their life has completely been based on the wrong things. So what do we do if part of our goal in this life is to be happy, and yet it seems like happiness is something that changes every second of every day and actually is something that we can very easily lose? Then where are we supposed to find purpose? Where are we supposed to find meaning? And where are we supposed to find something that's going to pull us through even when things get really rough? Well, it's all throughout the Bible. We find it. We find the answer. And especially in the life of this guy named Paul. And Paul went through some really awesome times, right? Like, he had all the social status that you would ever want, and he was a powerful guy. He was a smart guy. But then he also experienced some of the lowest of the lows, where he was shipwrecked, where he was beaten, where he was left for dead, where he was put in jail, which is actually where we are going to read from this morning, is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And as Paul's writing this, he's writing from prison. He's writing from a low point in his life. So let's see what he says. Is he gonna tell us, hey, it feels like my happiness balloon just blew up and all the pieces of my face are everywhere, right? Is he gonna say that? Or is he gonna say something different? Here's what he says. He's kind of closing out his letter to the Philippians. And here is what he says in verse 11 of chapter 4. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Which that last verse is maybe like the most popular, right? Popularized by Tim Tebow. You guys remember him? He used to wear that, what's that black stuff underneath his eyes? Eye black. And he would put verses on it. And this is one of the verses that he would write. It's Philippians 4:13, right? And oftentimes that verse was actually taken to mean, hey, whatever comes your way, you can do it. Like, you can win the football game. You can win the basketball game. You can be an astronaut, right? Or you can do whatever you want to do. You can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. And there's some truth to that, but that's actually not really what these verses are getting at. See, what Paul was actually saying here is that because of Christ, because of relying on him, because of finding my life in him, because of putting my faith and trust and hope in him, I can now face anything. It may not mean that I'll win the game. It may not mean that I'll be the best. But it does mean that in the highs and in the lows of life, I can find joy. I can be content. Why? Because I know Jesus. Because I know that he's still in control. So I don't have to worry. I can actually have peace when things get really hard. Because my circumstances are not dependent on something that's constantly moving up and down and side to side and all over the map. But my life is built on the one who never changes. His name is Jesus. That's who I can do all things through. That's who, in any circumstance, I can be content through. See, we've been talking about happiness. Maybe a more biblical word to use is the word joy. That Paul, even in the middle of prison, was able to find joy in his circumstances. Can you imagine that? I don't know what you think about when you think of prison. If you think that, like, the cookies taste really good or something, or like, man, I think everybody just works out in prison. Like, that seems to be the place you're going to get your six-pack finally, right? Like, maybe that's a good idea to go there. Please don't think about that anymore, okay? I don't think that the cookies are that good, probably, right? And everybody does not work out in prison and get a jacked body like you see in some of these movies, right? Prison is not a good place. And it was definitely not a good place when Paul was in it. In fact, we've kind of got real buildings and structures, and we do take care of our prisoners to some extent, right? Back in the day, it was way more like a hole in the ground where Paul was in prison. I mean, in fact, it pretty much was a hole in the ground. Paul was not in a good place when he was writing this. He wasn't. And yet somehow, actually, if you were to flip over through the pages of Philippians, there's only four chapters to it. You could read it today. Maybe that's your challenge, right? But Paul actually says, I rejoice. I will say it again, rejoice. Even in the midst of the situation that he was in, being in prison, Paul knew that his life wasn't tied to his circumstances, but it was tied to the Most High God. He found his joy in him. So let me ask you this. We asked earlier, hey, what's your recipe for happiness? Or What's your recipe for joy? You could put that word in there as well. Let me ask you maybe a different way. Do you find your joy in God? Do you find your joy in God? We listed out a lot of different things that make us happy, right? And it's not bad to find happiness in those things, but remember what happens when there are no more Girl Scout cookies in the box, right? Like, that's a tragedy. But does all of your is your happiness just gone? Are you no longer able to be content? Are you no longer able to find joy? Or is it tied to something stronger? What happens when your friendships aren't going the way you want them to? What happens when your family, your actual blood family, crumbles around you? Or maybe you've never even known your blood family. Where do you find your happiness? Where do you find your joy? Do you find your joy in God? What does that have to do with serving? Like, why are we talking about joy on the last day of the After You series, right? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you'll flip over to Romans, Paul is still talking. He's the writer of Romans and Philippians. Crazy. He did a lot while he was here on this earth, right? And in Romans, Paul is wrapping up the book of Romans, and he's talking about following the example of Jesus. And he's writing to these people, and here's what he says about Jesus. We're going to read Romans 15:13 in just a second. But here's what he says about Jesus when it comes to serving and how it relates to joy. Here's what it says, verse 8 of Romans chapter 15. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised. Whoa, why did you just read that right? Why are we talking about that? The circumcised, just think the Jews, okay, when I read this. So for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the Jews to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. And so Christ became a servant for the Jews, and what? And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Who are the Gentiles? Anybody who's not a Jew. So pretty much all of us in this room, right? Jesus served so that God would be glorified. Jesus served so that God would be glorified and so that we might one day come to see him in all of his glory. And here's the connection between service and joy, and that we might find our joy in God. So how does joy connect with service? Jesus served so that one day we would find all of our joy in God, so that one day Paul would find all of his joy in God, and that he would be able to go through any circumstance and still have that joy, still be content. Jesus also did it for us. So why do we serve? We now serve, we follow in Jesus' footsteps, we serve not so that we get something good out of it, not so that we get some good feeling, not so that we get something in return. We don't even completely serve so that others' needs would be met, although that's a huge part of it. But we actually serve now so that God would be glorified and so that other people might now find joy in God as well. That's the connection between service and joy. Paul says in Romans 15, verse 13, he says, this is his hope for the Romans. I think this is his and God's hope for us as well, or their desire for us. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all, there's our word, joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Here was Paul's desire for us, for the Romans, and for us, that we would be so filled with joy and peace. How? Just by knowing God. And that joy, that peace, that life would overflow in everything we do, and especially in serving others. And it would overflow, why? Just so people would get, you know, wet with our joy? No, that's kind of weird, right? No, so that people would see our joy, experience our joy, and so that they too would have the same joy. So let me ask you again, do you find joy in God? Does it get you kind of giddy? Does it get you excited when you think about who God is? Does it get your heart beating a little bit faster when you think about what God has done in your life? Do you find your joy in God? That's a weird thing to say, right? Because most of us, when we think about our own happiness and we think about, hey, what makes our happiness balloon go up and what makes it go down, like, what, we wouldn't include God. For a lot of us, it's just based on our circumstances. And yet, over and over and over again in the scriptures, it seems to be that our joy should be far more tied to God than it is to that up and down happiness balloon. So how do we do this? How do we find joy in God? How do we remind ourselves of the joy that we have in God? I think that it actually has to do with the reason God tells us over and over again, or invites us over and over again, to spend time with him. See, a lot of us view spending time with God throughout the week as a chore. We don't see it as the necessary reminder that it truly is. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to remind ourselves of who God is this morning. There's some pen and paper under your chairs. If you don't have one of those, kind of look around, maybe find some pen and paper. If you're a really good note taker, you might already have a pen. So share your pen with somebody else. There's an index card. Here's what we're going to do with the index cards. We're going to remind ourselves of who God is this morning, and hopefully stir up some feelings, once again, of joy, or some reminders of like, oh yeah, this is who God is. This is why he's so awesome. And then you'll have this little card to look back on, right? All right, so the first, there's just three questions. They're going to pop up on the screen that I want you guys to answer on your index card. The first one is, who is God? Here's what you're going to do, plain and simple. You're going to take a moment to remind yourself who God is. So write down, who is God? The next one, question two, is what has God done? So what are you going to write? You're going to write things that you can put your finger on in your life about what God has done, what you've seen God do in your life. Maybe it's for a family member, or ways you've shown up in, ways you've seen him show up in your life. And then this last question is, who else needs joy? So these first two questions, they ought to well something up within you. If you're a Christian, if you're someone who's truly been saved by God, then thinking about who he is and what he's done ought to get you a little bit excited. And so that third question is, who else needs joy around you? There's other people that God has called you to serve, that God's called you to share your joy with. And so maybe write down a couple names of who needs joy in your life, right? We're going to turn, can we turn on some like background music for like a minute or two? And just take a second. We're going to turn it on so you don't have to play it, all right, JT? We're going to take a couple minutes to fill out these questions. You guys don't have pens? There should be. Here's two right here. There's a third right there. You want to come grab those, boys? All right. So what'd you guys get? Maybe a couple answers. Who is God? What did anybody write down? Somebody? Yeah, Micah. The Father of everything. So how should this stir up something in us, right? How should it do that? Well, not just by reading the words, right? But by actually taking time and thinking about that. What does it mean that God's been the Father of everything? What if you spent a few minutes thinking about that? Trenton. Yeah, he created everything, right? So what does it mean to think about, man, God as the creator? Can you, like, just think about that for a little bit? Nick? Our Savior, yeah. What does it mean that he saved us? Baylor? Part of the Trinity. Nice, dude. That's something huge. What would happen if we thought about that? Evan? The creator. Love it. Avery? The reason for all the good in us and around us. Samantha? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Back to that Trinity. Trey? Sovereign. Love that, man. So what if, and here's why, if you've ever like been in the habit of reading scripture or praying every day, you know that there's a different outlook, a different mindset on the day when you do that. And maybe you've lost that. Maybe you've forgotten it. But I think that if you're able to think about, hey, really, who God is on a daily basis, it's going to change the way you approach the day. It's going to well up some joy within you. You're going to be reminded of your true source of joy. What about this second question, and then we'll wrap it up. What has God done? What are some things that you've seen God do in your own life? JT. He saved you. Yeah, that's a perfect place to start, right? He saved you. Anybody else? Something that God's done in your life. Maybe some things that he's done in your family. Yeah, Trenton and Nick again. Yeah, really good. Nick? Yes. So good. That, man, I mean, there's so many things. Samantha, last one? Yes, I love that. Heal the sick, inspired lives, turn hearts back to him. Take some moments throughout your day to think about these things. Let who God is and what he's done well up joy inside of you that overflows in how you serve people and how you love people, so that ultimately, not so you would just have a good day, so that you would feel good, or so that even just that like something magical would happen, right? But you're doing it so that God would be glorified in and through you, just like God was glorified through Jesus, and that through that, somebody may come to know and taste the same joy that you and I experience with God. So to wrap up this series, serving like Jesus requires noticing the needs of others. It requires opening your hands, your time, your resources, your life to the people around you. It requires using your gifts, me and you, using our gifts to serve others and to serve God. And ultimately, it requires sharing the joy that you have in Christ, that I have in Christ, with those around us so that they might experience that joy as well. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus as the one whose footsteps we now follow in. God, help us to think well of you every single day about who you are, about what you've done, about what you're doing all around us. God, help us to have our eyes opened to the people around us who need the same joy that we experience with you. They need to taste that for themselves. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.